Stand up on your feet, take your Bibles, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 23. We do have notes for you tonight. Appreciate our worship team. 2 Kings chapter 23. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 4. If you're all there, say amen. And we do have notes. I believe they've been passed out already. Here we go. 2 Kings 23, verse 4. Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the temple of the Lord with all of the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and prophets, and all the people from the least to the greatest. From the what? From the least to the greatest. That means everybody went. There the king read to them the entire book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. The king took his place of authority beside the pillar and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. He pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. In this way, he confirmed all the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, and all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Verse 4. Then the king instructed Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second rank of the temple priests and the gatekeepers to remove from the Lord's temple the articles that were used for Baal worship, Asherah, and all the powers of the heavens. And the king had all these things burned outside Jerusalem on the terraces of the Kidron Valley. And he carried the ashes away to Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests who had been appointed by previous kings of Judah, for they offered sacrifices at the pagan shrines throughout Judah and even in the vicinity of Jerusalem. They had also offered sacrifices to Baal, to the sun, the moon, the constellations, to all the powers of the heavens. Verse 6. The king removed the Asherah pole from the Lord's temple and took it outside Jerusalem to the Kidron Valley, and he burned it. Then he ground the ashes of the pole into dust and threw the dust over the graves of the people. He also tore down the living quarters of the male and female shrine prostitutes that were inside the temple of the Lord, where the women wove coverings for the Asherah pole. Josiah brought to Jerusalem all the priests who were living in other towns of Judah. He also defiled the pagan shrines where they had offered sacrifices all the way to Gibeah into Beersheba. He destroyed the shrines at the entrance to the gate of Joshua, the governor of Jerusalem. This gate was located to the left of the city's gate as one enters the city. Verse 9, the priests who served at the pagan shrines were not allowed to serve at the Lord's altar in Jerusalem, but they were allowed to eat unleavened bread with the other priests. Then the king defiled the altar of Topath, in the valley of Ben Hinnom, so that no one could ever use it to sacrifice a son or daughter in the fire as an offering to Molech. He removed the entrance of the Lord's temple, the horse statues of the former things of Judah that had dedicated to the sun. They were near the quarters of Nathan Molech, the eunuch, the officer of the court. The king also burned the chariots dedicated to the sun. You guys all right? Okay, me too. Verse 12. Josiah tore down, what did he do? He tore down the altars that the kings of Judah had built on the places on the palace roof and the upper room of Ahaz. The king destroyed the altars of Manasseh had built in the two courtyards of the Lord's temple. He smashed them to bits. To what? To bits. And scattered the pieces in the Kidron Valley. The king also desecrated the pagan shrines east of Jerusalem to the south of the Mount of Corruption, where King Solomon of Israel had been shrines for Asherah, the detestable gods of the Sidonians, and for Chemosh, the detestable god of the Moabites, and for Molech, the vile god of the Amorites. He smashed the pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He desecrated the places by scattering human bones over them. Verse 15, hang in there, we're almost done. And yes, it's all important. The king also tore down the altar at Bethel, the pagan shrine that Jeroboam son of Nebat had made when he caused Israel to sin. He burned down the shrine and ground it to dust. He burned the Asherah pole. Then Josiah turned around and noticed several tombs on the side of the hill. He ordered that the bones be brought out, and he burned them on the altar at Bethel to desecrate it. This happened just as the Lord had promised a man of God when Jeroboam stood beside the altar at the festival. Then Josiah turned and looked up at the tomb of the man of God who had predicted these things. Verse 17, what is this monument over there? Josiah asked. And the people of the town told him, that's the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and predicted the very things you have just done to the altar at Bethel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all you've done, all you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Man, that's a whole lot of smashing. It's a whole lot of smashing, grinding, burning. I love this guy. He's my kind of guy. He's a reformer. On Wednesday, we began to preach along the lines of Reformation, and I think I might have fallen into a series. Now, some series we plan, like on Sunday morning, new series started this morning called Breakout. I'm told if you didn't hear this morning's message, you need to go and hear it. It's life-changing. And so I think I've fallen into a series that I hadn't planned, but the Spirit of God has led me in beginning to study these reformers, because you know what we need in America? You know what we need in Wasilla? You know what we need in the state of Alaska? You know what we need in every nation, every tribe? We need people like this guy right here who would cut down every Asherah pole, that would burn the idolatrous places and bring a reformation. We don't need a revival as in like a three-day meeting. We need a reformation. We need a people who will throw aside their filthy garments and the clothes that are stained with even sin and begin to go after God and live for him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it starts in leadership. God is looking for Josiahs. God is looking for Hezekiahs. He's looking for people who would bring reformation. I believe that we are headed to one of the greatest outpourings that the world has ever known. And I believe that for a number of reasons. I see it in Scripture. I sense it in the Spirit as well. And that I know in order for there to be a great falling away, it's called the apostasy, there must be a great ingathering. And I somehow feel like we haven't quite gotten that yet. So I'm hoping and believing for a great ingathering, even from the great Northland. Oh God, receive your full inheritance from Alaska. Receive your reward for your suffering from this state and from this nation. Oh God, bring reformation, bring an outpouring, bring a great awakening. Do it, we pray in Jesus' name. Shout amen. Hey, it's a multi-generational church, a multi-ethnic church. It's beautiful to hear how God's pouring out his Spirit in King's Kids. And he's pouring out his Spirit in the classics. Those are the older folks. He's pouring out his Spirit on everybody. God is doing it. There have been tremendous changes in my lifetime as I am getting older, although I feel young. I remember going to public school, and I went to public school for all of my early formative years, and then I went to an all-boys boarding school, a private boarding school, which I rejoice that I did. I heard the gospel there. The public school, when I went, they still said the Pledge of Allegiance. We still stood and put our hand over our heart, and you had to take your hat off and all that. There was a lot of things that happened in public school. Some of you might remember blue laws. You couldn't buy anything. You couldn't buy anything on Sunday. Everything was closed. We have come very far from that. Now in public schools, you have metal detectors. Now in public schools, you have defilement. Now and unprecedented defilement where boys declare themselves to be girls and then go into girls' bathrooms and do things that are absolutely, it's family night. So I'm gonna be gracious and kind. Otherwise, I'd be not so gracious. That's one of the reasons we started the school. It's not going to, we're going to fight for it to be pushed out of Alaska for sure. And there's dark money pumped in and all kinds of stuff. I have to correct something from the first service. I talked about how a group of people were really contending, of which we were a part of, to see some laws changed in the borough so that the library system didn't have perversity in it. And we saw that vote go 5-2 from that hearing and that meeting in favor of new legislation that will allow the borough mayor to put people in position to oversee the selection of books for the public library. But I'm to understand that's not the school libraries. And oh, how I wish it was. And I said to that brother who's serving as a public servant in those high offices, I said, well, get it done. Somebody has to do something. I loved Minister Hank, who said as he testified on that day, Minister Hank, thank you. Minister Hank said in his very simple Southern way, if you all vote in favor of this, is it going to protect my children? They said, yes. He said, then I think you ought to vote in favor of it to simplify it. And I thank God for Mayor Edna, and I thank God for a godly council that voted in favor. It's horrible. They used to use a PA system for prayer. You know, one of the reasons I favor the Catholic hospital, what's it called again, in Anchorage, Providence, because, you know, they have prayer that a priest gets on. I just like it. I like the fact that a priest gets on and prays at 5 o'clock for healing for everybody. I just like it. I don't ascribe to everything the Catholics ascribe to. Mary worship is idolatry, and some people have called them a cult, but they also have preserved the word that we just read tonight. Now things have changed. What happened? Our founding fathers believed, the colonists believed that America, if America was to succeed, and this is a quote, that they must be in covenant with God and with each other. And if they failed to keep this covenant, that it would cause God to withdraw his presence from our nation. Well, that covenant has been broken again and again and again. But I believe there's a people that are rising up. I believe there's a people that are going to put God in his rightful place. I believe that prayer's coming back to our schools. Listen, as I was reading this, I don't know who it is. I just believe that God is going to install a president one of these days. I'm not looking for the Republicans to bring the answer, and neither should you. I'm not looking for the Democrats to bring the answer, and neither should you. Jesus is the answer. Government doesn't bring revival, but what they allow us to do if they do their job is bring peace so we can do our job of bringing reformation and an outpouring. Government doesn't bring an outpouring. They're supposed to allow us to live at peace. And we don't have that now. From the southern border to the meth crisis, epidemic, fentanyl, all kinds of debauchery and thievery, lying, stealing, cheating. It's just not safe. I think there's 7 million illegal aliens that have come across the border. I have it on good report that there's... Listen, we need to pray. We need to pray like we never have before. Good report that what? Well, never you mind. I have a lot of good reports. I'm going to keep it to myself. Our nation has been ransacked by greed, ransacked by unbridled lust and perversion. I mean, it's shocking to me to think that Israel, our greatest ally in the Middle East, I'm not saying they're perfect. They're not. The greatest ally in the Middle East is being bombed and has been rocketed by money that we sent for them, for the enemies of Israel to buy. How insane is that? It's crazy. Well, truth has been substituted for opinion. Secular humanism is ruling and reigning. Man has become the measure of all things, but not here. And that's never God's plan. And if our nation continues along that route, we will be utterly destroyed. You say, we're destroyed already. No, we're not. You're still here. I'm still here. And it's not over yet. I believe that there's a great outpouring. Amen. You cannot have inalienable rights as in our Constitution without a creator. Without a creator, democracy doesn't work. The republic doesn't work without God as the creator. When you remove God and his word, then Satan and his word begins to reign, although unofficially. Unless you're paying attention, you understand the fingerprints of Satan, then it seems to be very official. The killing of babies, thank God for the overthrowing of Roe versus Wade. Thank God for all the things that are right and good and just, but we need what I want to call a reformation generation. We need a reformation generation. You say, you're preaching a pretty heavy word for family night. That's because I'm hoping that your kids hear what I'm saying. I'm hoping that you hear what I say and that it goes into your heart and you believe that I want to be a Josiah. Yes, I agree. May you become a Josiah. May you become a Hezekiah. May you become someone who stands against a stiff wind of opposition for what's right and vote and declare and live it out loud. This is a powerful passage of revival and reformation that comes through this boy. Well, he was a boy, but he grew up, obviously. What is a reformation generation? It's a generation called to unction, to an unction like Josiah, to an unction like Hezekiah. And there's others, of course. Now look at Josiah's story. He became king at 8 years old. How many of you 8 year olds wouldn't mind being king? Yes, but my God. Thank God for counselors that he had. His great-grandfather Manasseh was 55 years. His father Amon was 2 years. Both of them were bad kings. Bad, horrible kings. In 2 Kings 22, verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or left. His father is not named, but his mother is when you look at his life. And I believe that's because Pastor Karen, Pastor Kimmy, all the godly mothers here, the mother's mentioned because it's the mother that made the difference with a reprobate father, and we have lots of fatherless homes. I can always tell when there's an absentee father, whether he's in the house or not. I can always tell. I can always tell when I'm in, you say, are you serious right now? Yeah, I can. It's the way that those little boys shake my hand. It's something about a father in the life of a little boy whose manhood or masculinity, I should say, is imparted. And it's very important. My daughter gave me the greatest compliment that I've ever received in my whole life. I just want to write that down and put it on a plaque and put her quotes in it. She comes back from school. I don't know, it was her second year. She said, Dad, I want a real man like you. I'm like, yeah. That's the greatest compliment of father. I want a man like you. I don't want some sissified guy who can't stand up and speak his mind, his opinion. They're all effeminate. And if you go and look across America, men, young men have been emasculated. That's a big word that your kids don't know, but many of you do know it, have been emasculated by a society that says you can choose whether you're a boy or a girl. You cannot. Aren't you glad we have Sunday night? Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Ah! Bring a reformation generation, oh God, even from those under the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. He reigned righteously. And here's a recap. 8th year of his reign, he began to seek the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. 2 Chronicles 34. 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. Wow. 8th year of his reign. Do the math. He's 16. He's 16 years old. You don't have to wait till you're old to seek God. In fact, I'll tell you, if you wait till you're old, you're going to miss it. You got to seek God now. Seek the Lord while he may be found at your age. You're going to preach. You're going to preach. There's a powerful anointing that rests upon you. And when you preach and when you teach, it'll be like a magnet that brings people to Christ. My hand is upon you. Even when you were in your mother's womb, I knit you together. You say, well, that's the rest of my brothers and sisters too. God has a unique calling on every one of them as well. No doubt. You are called to preach. There's a pastoral gifting upon you. I made you, says the Lord, and I'm going to put the whole thing together. I'm going to make a way for your training, for your education. I'm going to help you. And you're going to be used like a Josiah. Come on. You don't have to wait till you're old. Don't wait. Don't wait. All the little ones. Where's all the little girls at? Hey. You can see God now. And they're all up front. You say, well, how can you allow children up in the altar to worship? How can you not?
How can you not?
Well, that's just, I don't know, that's not, no, that's exactly the way it should be. You go to Israel right now, let me just tell you, we were there and just a few months ago, and we went down to the Wailing Wall, and we were there at Shabbat, okay? On Friday, I always wanted to go on Friday night at the opening of Shabbat. I wanted to go for years. As long as I knew about it, since I heard about it, I wanted to be at the wall on Friday night when Shabbat started. And I was there. Minister Daniel, they had youth your age losing their ever-loving minds, singing these songs, dancing around in circles. I mean, just worshiping God. All your age and younger. And you go down there and you see whole families. And the women go to the women's side and the men go to the men's side. And of course we went to the men's side. And I was with Pastor Gil, who's his first time in Israel. And I said to him, I said, dude, follow me. I just knew where I wanted to go. I wanted to go all the way in, all the way deep, pack all the way in underneath this overhang, all the way by the wall, deep in the midst of all of these Jewish people praying. And I got in there and it's packed. I'm talking wall to wall. And they're just rocking back and forth. And then they start singing, worshiping, and then they pray and they pray and they're looking around and I'm all, I'm praying in my heavenly language, praying and rocking. We're going back and forth. That's what should happen. There should be a multi-generational move of the Spirit of God in your homes and in the church. You begin to isolate children. Listen, we will never close this. This Sunday night will never close, and I'm going to tell you why. If you don't have this, then kids don't get to see me spitting all everybody. Spraying and praying and prophesying. I've had people say, well, it's just over their heads. No, it's not. They're all staring at me right now. They're all listening. I can see the word go in. I can see it. And if you don't have a Sunday night, then kids will never hear the word like that. Both of my children have a strong vocabulary. They're one of the reasons I do. One of the reasons is I constantly spoke over their heads. They'd be like, well, what does that mean? And then I tell them. Then they learn a word. Same thing spiritually. Don't be afraid to go deep with your kids. I never liked the little picture book, the little Bible picture book. And we got them and we started using them. I said, I don't like that. I don't like it. Get the word. We read the kids the word of God. We didn't do like just picture books and stuff. We would read them scriptures with pictures and then it progressed. Some of you don't do that. I guess a picture book of the Bible story is better than no Bible story at all. But I believe in the power of the word of God more than just a little picture. He's 16, he begins to seek God. In the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. So 16, it was 8 years. I don't know, do the math. How old is he, Pastor Kirsten? 28. So when he's 28, he begins to become this reformer. It's amazing how God sets your life up as you continue to seek him. What you are now is not what you will be if you continue to seek God. I had no idea that I'd be standing here. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't look anybody in the eye. It's a miracle I'm alive. It's a miracle I have a pulse. Many times a despair of life. Many times I heard dark voices and saw dark shadows. Many times I cried myself to sleep alone. I know what it is to be broken. I never thought that maybe God could use me in this incredible team, incredible staff. I'm telling you, God can raise you up. You might not think that you're smart. You might not think that you have what it takes. If you'll just seek God, God will use you to bring reformation. Can you say amen? Wow. No, I'm sorry. 12th year of his reign. Correction to Pastor Kirsten. I'm so sorry. He's 20 years old at that time. Do the math. He's 26. At the 18th year, he begins to purify the temple. Thank you, Pastor Kirsten, for helping me. I have a challenge with numbers. But he's 26. He begins to purify the temple, and it's a crazy verse. They found the word. Right. How do you lose the word? It was lost. In other words, the word of God was taken away from the people. It wasn't being read. It wasn't being taught. It wasn't being preached. The word of God, heaven and earth will pass. Am I yelling? Good, because some of you need to hear it. The word of God will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. Everything else passes away. They found the book of the law, and I love how it says no one worshiped for 50 years. That's basically the math. 50 years, no worship. But now there's this awakening. I believe that God is bringing a great awakening to Alaska. God is bringing a great awakening to the state, and not only the state, but the nation and the nations of the world. And how he's going to do it is he's going to raise up a reformation generation. He's going to set your heart on fire to tear down your own personal Asherah poles. I don't have no Asherah pole. Well, we'll find out in a minute. We'll find out if you have. So I don't have no Asherah pole erected in my backyard. I don't even know yet. What does that mean for today? I'm getting ahead of myself. Found the book of the law. He read it. And it could be that he read the prophetic word. I mean, we don't know. 1 Kings 17 talks about his prophesied by name. This king is prophesied by name in 1 Kings 17. And it could be that he read it. Huldah had prophesied judgment, but because the king repented, it wouldn't happen during his reign. You see that in 2 Chronicles 34, 27, 28. He renewed the covenant between God and Israel, 2 Chronicles 35. He celebrated the Passover in a way that no king ever had. He's 26, 27, 28 years old, and he changes the world. He changed a nation. The Reformation generation, you fill in your notes, is one of repentance. The Reformation generation is one of a repentance. Repentance is a beautiful thing. There is a one-time repentance where you give your life to Christ, yes. Then there's an ongoing repentance, which we all have to do. And if you don't repent, then you begin to slip away from the Lord. Repentance is a lifestyle. And there's some horrible, gangrenous teaching that I call neo-Calvinism. And it basically declares that you're forgiven and you're just forgiven and God loves you and no matter what, you're forgiven. That is absolutely, positively, emphatically a lie. Yes, he loves you. But if you sin, you have to repent. If you don't, your sins remain. It's really popular in the lower 48, as you might imagine. Then you can do whatever you stink and want to. You can dance around your Asherah pole, smoke all kinds of ounces of weed, do dope, and just rejoice. You can lie, live a life of lying, and if you do, that old phrase, liar, liar, pants on fire, will absolutely be true when you die. The Reformation generation is one of repentance. The Reformation generation will elevate the Word of God to affect all of society. That's what he did. Opinions don't last. God is not obligated to stand over your opinion or mine. He does stand over his Word, and he will see it performed. It does not go forth and return void. We need to be those who elevate the Word, speak the Word, teach the Word, live the Word. The Word needs to be our standard for conduct, holiness, purity. The Reformation generation will have zeal for the house of God. That's what he had. He had zeal, a desire to see prayer and worship at the center of the community. I'm so glad God allowed us, by the grace of God, to build this building flat in the entrance of the gate of this city. Why? Because it says that Jesus is here. He's doing a great work. It's a testament. Oh, they said, we had somebody say, we don't want a cross. Don't put a cross on top of the building. Going to say that we're a religious community. So they wouldn't allow us to put a cross on the top of our building, which is, it made us seem like we're trying to sneak something through the, and if you read the report of the frontiersman, then it would seem like we're trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes and just do, that's not what happened. We got a word of approval from Governor Burt. And there was different things that had to happen in order for that approval to be authenticated and stamped. And the ball got dropped by an architect who we later fired. And we got a new architect. And meanwhile, we had to stand before the city and get a variance for the height of our building. Our building, we thought we had it, and we didn't. And let me just tell you, when I'm in that meeting, I'm just like, I don't care about the cross because that's not where I want it anyway. The steel's already made. Give us a variance for the height of our building. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. And they're like, you can't do the cross. I'm like, the building's fine. I'm like, yes. I didn't even want the cross there. The vision I had is the cross is right where it's at. That was the vision that the Lord gave me. It wasn't even on top of the building. So I was like, look what the Lord has done. Yes. And we got approval for being the size that we are. And we're very grateful for that. Zeal, the zeal of the house of the Lord. The zeal of the house of the Lord, that prayer would be in the center of the community. I have a desire for that. It's been replaced all across America by Costco and banks. When you traveled through America, you go through the small towns now. Every small town had a church in the center of the town. Everyone is like giant water towers and churches in the center of town. The center of the community was a church, but the church began to be pushed out because it went asleep in the arms of the enemy and preached a social gospel or didn't preach any gospel at all. And then before you know it, there's no signs, no wonders, no lives being transformed, no more baptisms, no more communion. And pastors are made to look like little idiots, and they're made fun of in little shows. There's a little dweeb who has no significance, no style, no swag, and no authority. It used to be that you would go and get counsel from a pastor because he was educated, he was a man of God, he would give you the word, he would pray, and God would move. But that's changed. I expressly believe that God's gonna change it back. Can someone say amen? Come on, can you shout a better amen? Revival generation will have zeal for the house of the Lord. The power of God put on display. Somebody said, how do you get so many people into a Sunday night? I have asked that question on a regular basis. It's because when we pray for people, we pray for people that get healed. People want to hear the word. They want to hear truth. They don't want to hear some pablum. People don't want to hear some political nonsense. Oh, we just don't want to hurt any feelings. I'm not afraid of hurting your feelings, and more than that, I don't want to. If I did, that would be weird. But God's word will hurt your feelings, and those are feelings that need to be hurt so that you could repent and so that you could get right, so you could have a blessed life. Zeal for the house of the Lord. That's Josiah. Reformation generation will destroy the works of the devil. The Asherah pole is a particular symbol. I just want to watch my language. I don't want you to go and study about Asherah, but it was all about, it's all perverse. Okay, I'll just say that. You can, those of you that are paying attention can understand, but I want to be careful. Molech. You say, well, there's no worship of Molech. Well, that's what abortion is. I'm glad it was overthrown by Roe versus Wade. I have a growing, developing relationship with the governor. And as it grows a little bit more, I'll be asking him, why, for the love of God, don't we fix that in this state? We have some of the worst abortion laws in the land. Why isn't it changing? I want to know. I want to know the answer why, because he's a God-fearing man. I believe that he is. I heard him preach at the governor's prayer breakfast, and he talked about absolute truth. I was everything I could do, not stand up, but I'd make a scene in front of my Baptist friends. Destroyed Molech and tore down the altars, the starry host, sun god, and the same God said he tore down and attacked and ground to dust and burned the same gods that are operating today. And you can begin to do a study and see how they relate. Oh, we have different names now. Drugs. Where are the Josiahs? Where are the Hezekiahs? Where are those that are so burdened to bring forth transformation? Where are they? Live radical for God. I won't sell all of you young people, you old people, and everybody in between. See how on fire you could get. You know, on fire people, they make religious people very uncomfortable. Can you just calm down? Can I tell you how many times I had somebody tell me, calm down? I'm in my late 20s. I was on fire. About Josiah's age, 28. And I remember after worship, just like tonight, I'm sweating my clothes through, dance. I just didn't care. Like, I was lost, and I didn't come for friends. I came for Jesus. He set me free. And so I'm worshiping him with all my heart. And I'm sweating. My clothes are sweat through. I sit down, and this lady comes and says, oh, that's you're still in the honeymoon stage, honey.
So rude.
You're going to calm down soon. Rude. I was like, okay. And then I realized I don't want to calm down like her. I don't want to get weak and dignified. I will yet become more undignified before the Lord. God has set me on fire. I can't help myself. I can't help but preach, pray, prophesy, spin, worship. I was dead. I was lost. I was blind, but now I'm saved, healed. I can see. Anybody else in this place, stand up on your feet and shout a... Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say
so.
All right, sit down. I'm so glad I came to church tonight. Reformers will raise up people, a people who are holy. Now, holiness, there's imparted and imputed. Imputed holiness is a holiness you receive by what Jesus has done on the cross. He gives you his righteousness. He gives you his holiness. But when you receive that and you understand that you will live imparted, you will live holy. When you understand what he's done, it's not a license for sin. You understand that you crucified him, and you understand that his blood has covered you, so that when he looks at you, he sees righteousness. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Holiness is a beautiful thing. Holiness will repent right away. Holiness and purity. There needs to be a paradigm shift. God speaking to us because of Josiah, judgment was delayed for Israel. And I want to say flat out and plain to you, we can be a people that change the course of history. We can be a people that delay judgment upon America. We can be a people that change the course of history. Oh, I would to God that somebody would hear what I'm saying. We must make our standard God's word. We must live it out. It's time to live out what you believe. Let me say this. What you believe is the way you're living. You can't separate your belief system from the way that you live. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe this. I believe that. Uh-huh. And if you look at your life, would your life be the evidence actually of what you believe? Because you can say lip service that you believe one thing, but the proof is in the pudding. The pudding is your life, the way you live. What you do in the dark is the level of Christianity that you actually have. The level of maturity that you have is what you do, and you'll know when he'll ever catch you. You'll never be caught. You'll never know. That is the level of maturity that you have. Is that conviction I smell? What is that? I smell something. Bump your neighbor and say, are you convicted right now? All right. Make God's word our standard and live it out. We gotta pray for revival. I was so encouraged on Friday night. We just opened our Friday night prayer. We'd been doing it, but open to the public now. We had 30 some odd people there interceding and praying. It was beautiful. I don't know what's going to happen this Friday, but you know what? If it just gets really big, we'll just move down here. It's in our prayer room. We opened up the prayer room upstairs, still under a temporary occupancy. Got to pray for revival. And you got to pray to be bold for holiness. Bold, 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 bold. Every kind of perversion has come out of the closet. For the love of God, it's time for the Christian to come out of the closet. Our families, our schools. It's time. It is time. If you have a song, it's time to sing it. You have a gift, it's time to use it. It's time. It's time to awaken a generation under reformation. It's time for Josiah's. It's time for Hezekiah's. It's time for the Davids to arise, except for the issue with Bathsheba. It's time! Worship team. This is a reformation generation. I do believe that God has started something. Something has shifted in the past few weeks. Something has shifted in the Valley Pastors Prayer Network. I can't quite tell you what, but it's just there's a sense of unity and urgency and passion that's taking place. I haven't experienced that before. Maybe it was there before, and I wasn't there. That's certainly possible. I just felt led to go, and then something has shifted. It's clearly shifted. Got a National Day of Prayer coming on May 2nd. We'll have a gathering right here. It's open to the body of Christ. I know Northgate's going to join us, and I'm going to try to get every church that'll participate to join us. We can fit a lot of people in this room, and we have overflow in the lobby. Wouldn't that be something if we had a great time of intercession and prayer on the National Day of Prayer? Wouldn't that be beautiful? It's Thursday night, the 2nd of May. May 18th, mark your calendar. There's a Body of Christ prayer event, which we're not quite sure where we're calling it. Like Pray AK or something. I don't know. We were going to call it, I think, Holy Convocation of the Lord's People, something like that, but I think they changed their mind. And that's going to be at the Menard Sports Center. I believe that God is pouring out His Spirit, and I believe He's raising up revolutionaries. There's a thing, I woke up with this phrase, and I've heard it before from the Lord. I'm raising up dread champions. I have to go study that. I don't even know what a dread champion is. Somebody Google dread champion for me and add Scotland to it. I think that has something to do with it. Go ahead, help me out. What is a dread champion? Is someone, I believe, that's so radical, like a revolutionary. See, when you get a hold of your God-given, blood-bought right, you'll let go of all your shame and your guilt. You'll enter on into a relationship with Jesus. You'll be set on fire, and that fire will burn on the inside of you, and you'll be like a Jeremiah. A Jeremiah that says, there's a fire shut up in my bones. I'm going to set you on fire, says the Lord. I'm going to set you on fire. The enemy's worked very hard through a bunch of circumstances. Lift your hands to heaven. He's worked hard. His power is broken, and I call you even to that place. You're going to do ministry like you've never seen before. He said, well, my personality's not that way. He'll take your personality and use it just the way it is. He's the one that made you. And fire and power will be released. Miracles are going to flow through you, and I'm going to give you a holy boldness that won't back off. Oh, you might not be invited back. Fire! But the power of God will be put on display and lives will be touched. You know, it was years ago, I was thinking about this before I preached tonight. I was on the front and you were testifying, Pastor Kimmy. And let's go ahead and begin to pass out communion, please. Go ahead, gentlemen. For those of you that want that, we're going to take communion. It's open. It's grape juice and a cracker. So as everyone is being served, I tell you this story. The year was 1995. I got so touched by God that I couldn't get off the floor. It was in my late 20s, mid to late 20s, and I couldn't get off the floor. And it wasn't just me. There was dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of people. Stuck to the carpet all across the church that I was in. Thank you. We have grape juice so we don't exclude former alcoholics. The cracker is matzo bread. It does contain gluten. It's white grape juice so we don't stain our brand new chairs and carpet. You can use orange juice. It's all symbols and pictures, powerful ones, though. As soon as everyone is served, we'll take communion together. So if you just wait a moment, we'll receive communion all together. Really? Dread Champion, thank you. Jeremiah 29. Dread Champion is one that represents the nation in a contest for its fate. You're kidding me. Think of Goliath standing in the Valley of Elah, challenging Israel to bring their finest warrior and clash against the ages. A dread champion is the big stick that defends the little guy. The champion is power and violence harnessed, and a protector. God is that for us. But I'm just going to say that God is raising up people to speak for those who can't speak because they're still in the womb. He's raising up dread champions. He's raising up people who stand, who will stand for those who can't stand for themselves. He's raising up a people. He's raising up dread champions. And I found this, that those who come under the power of God usually get up off the floor or come out of that encounter, and there's something different about them. There's just something very different about people that have had an encounter like that. And you say, well, I haven't had that. Well, stick around, and you can. You will. You hunger and thirst for it. One of those little girls on that floor was Pastor Shannon Morocco. I think she was on the other side of the floor that I was on. I don't know, but she's like 14 years old. 13, 14. Little Joshy, who's now the president of King's Cathedral and Chapels, Pastor Joshua Morocco, was also on the floor. And it seems that God just poured out his oil, poured out his power. And there are so many at that time that launched forth to become dread champions, if I could just say that. People who are willing to stand, receive rejection from the world and acceptance by God, but rejection from the world. Oh, when your hunger's sincere, it doesn't matter if it looks like a fool in the face of its peers. When your hunger's sincere, you don't care what people think. When you're desperate and you don't have any way out, and you cry out for God, for your village, for your loved one, for your marriage, for your children. When you're desperate and you're broken and you get to a place and you see that he was crucified because of you. You crucified him, and it becomes personal, and you realize that I crucified Christ. Oh yeah, everybody else. Oh yeah, the sin of the whole world. Yeah, sin of the whole world. Yeah, put away the sin of the whole world and take it personally. That's the way the Lord wants you to look at it. Look at your life and say, I'm the one that crucified him through my sin, through my lust, through my perversion. I'm the one that did it. Yes, of course there's others. Yes, others wounded you and hurt you. Yes, he died for that also. I believe that God is raising up Hezekiahs. I believe that God is raising up Josiahs. I believe that God is raising up a revival generation, dread champions who will stand. You know what all that has to happen in schools is serving God, living for Jesus, and living holy becomes the cool thing, and the whole thing flips. And it doesn't even require that much. Oh, what I wouldn't give to be like 15 and know what I know right now. I would wreck a school. Drop me in a school. Just drop me in. Drop me in the public school. Let's go. Let's go. You say, well, you're not. You're 58. Yes, but you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can at your school, at your high school, at your university. You can be set on fire and experience something that's greater than anything you've experienced before. A touch of God that's so strong, so deep, so wide. You'll never go to drugs. You'll never
go to porn. You'll never go to those things because God is bigger than all of that. Why would you go like a dog back to the vomit when you can lift your hands and receive a touch from the resurrected one? Receive a touch of his power, his fire. Why would you trade that? I wouldn't trade what I have now for anything. There's nothing the devil can serve up in my life that would then pull me away from the one who saved me, from the one who healed me, from the one who called me, from the one who touches me every night and speaks to me through dreams and visions. I will not compromise. I won't back off. I won't let up. I won't be smooth-kneed and apathetic. I want more of the fire of God, and I want to lay hands on a generation that'll bring transformation. Can you say hallelujah? Awaken your bride. Awaken your church. Awaken your bride. Awaken your church. Awaken Dread Champions tonight.
I hope you enjoyed the broadcast and it's enriched you and helped you in your life. If you've never made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you do it now? Pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place. Thank you that he rose again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch each and every person that prayed that prayer out of sincerity of heart. I pray a breaking off of every assignment of darkness, any chain, any bondage, any habit that's not of God, that you would sever it and set them free. I pray and ask, Holy Spirit, touch them and fill them now and use them for your purpose and give them a hunger for your word and for the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, text us, would you, so that we can help you grow in the things of God. Text SAVED to the number 907-357-2065. If you don't have a home church, we hope that you would find a home with us here at Kings, Alaska. If you're in some other part of the nation or the world, find a good local church that preaches and teaches God's word and grow in the things of God. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you in future broadcasts or in services. Praise the Lord.